And as you open your Bibles, let's open them to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Now, I have some questions for you about your service for Jesus Christ, your ministry that you do for Jesus Christ by way of introduction, okay? So here's some questions for you. Have you ever felt that your ministry or your service seems to have endless preparations and tasks? Ever felt that way? Have you ever felt distracted or carried away by all the demands of those preparations? Have you ever been left to do your ministry all alone? Have you ever felt like it's difficult to find anyone who really values your ministry or is as sensitive to your ministry as you are? Have you ever found yourself frustrated in your ministry? Have you ever been tempted to look with less than favorable eyes upon another servant because they are oblivious to your ministry? Have you ever wondered how you will get everything done that needs to be done? Have you ever felt like your service started well, but eventually began to spoil? Let me read our passage to you tonight, Luke 10, 38-42. Now as they were traveling along, he, Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." The Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Martha felt her service had endless preparation. And Martha was distracted and carried away by every single one of those preparations. Martha was left to do her ministry all alone. Martha was sure that there was a lack of appreciation and a lack of valuing her ministry. Mary and even Jesus. Martha could not even begin to look with favor upon her sister, Mary, who was oblivious to Martha's service. And Martha was not sure how everything was going to get done. Martha's service started well, but it quickly began to spoil. You know what? What evidence of God's grace to you and to me that he would record a passage like this for us? He cares about stuff like this. He has much to reveal to us tonight about himself and about ourselves as servants of Jesus. Perhaps maybe you're even sensing that your service for Christ has been or is in the process of spoiling. Well, this passage is just for you. But the diagnosis that Jesus gives and the prescription that he gives might be surprising to you. You see, we're usually convinced that when our ministry begins to spoil, it is because of the choices that other people make. And their choices, therefore, have an adverse impact upon me and my ministry. And is that true? Sure. That can happen. But that is not where Jesus starts with this dear servant of his whose ministry is spoiling. Listen, looking away from ourselves to other people first is not any way to begin any ministry evaluation. And yet, you know what's sad? It's oftentimes the first thing we do, isn't it, when we evaluate our ministry. We look away to others, and sometimes it's the only thing we do when we evaluate ministry. We look away from ourselves to the others around us and their choices they have made. But this passage, Jesus wants to show you and me tonight that our ministry spoils most of the time, if not almost all of the time, because of our own choices we make. This passage isn't about personality types, that Martha was just one way and Mary was another. This is not a passage about temperaments in ministry. This is not a passage about, well, we just need balance in life. Sometimes you're going to be a Martha, and at other times you're going to be a Mary, and you need to be both. That's not what Jesus is saying at all here. Jesus' point here is about choices we make. Look at verse 42. Mary has chosen the good part. And the implication there is that Martha, you did not choose the good part. Jesus' point here is about the choices we make. His point is not about the choices that others make that we think diminish our ministry, that threaten our ministry, that cast doubts on the credibility of our ministry. According to Jesus, there is one choice to make in ministry that rises above all the other choices that you can make. There is one choice that has a goodness to it that dwarfs all of the other good choices that you must make in ministry. According to Jesus, there is one choice to make that possesses a necessity to it that outshines all of the other necessary choices that you must make. According to Jesus, there is one choice to make as servants of His that if we choose it, is going to bring a fullness of ministry and life and an effectiveness to our ministry that we could have never imagined possible. According to Jesus, there is one choice to make in our servanthood that brings pleasure to Him. The decision that He is even prepared to defend, protect from the criticism of another servant. Listen to me. If you and I miss this choice that we are supposed to make, you will find the rest of your service for Jesus lacking. And you might even be inviting Jesus' gentle but sure rebuke for attempting to serve Him in a way that He's not interested in being served. Serving Him in a way that He's not impressed by. By serving Him in a way that He is not eager to defend before others. So with that in mind, will you pray with me? Look at God's Word. Father in heaven, as I think about the way that I serve, and what my servanthood is like, I know how much I need You in this moment as we look at Your Word. Because I have seen my life go through seasons over and over where my service and my ministry is spoiling. Father, I guess that I'm probably sitting with others who feel the same way. And I pray that You would bring Your Spirit to our presence, that we might be comforted, that we might be convicted where we need to be, that we might be able to have new eyes to see what our service and our ministry is really like in Your eyes. Speak to us, and comfort us, and lift us up out of the dark places that we can get to in our service. Be merciful to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. I want you to notice with me first Martha. She's number one, the servant whose ministry is spoiling. And I want to allow these words by Lenski in his commentary to set the stage for us. He says, "The aim of this narrative is not so much Martha and Mary as it is the one thing needful. It's the good part, that is, the blessed, saving, soul-satisfying word of Jesus Christ. Where this is chosen, all else follows. Where this is set aside and neglected, all else is useless, empty, deceptive, and vain. There is nothing good in Martha's anxious and troubled agitation. The only good thing is her love for Jesus, but this must be cleansed of the mistaken ideas which threaten to spoil it, and it must be directed into the one correct channel. All will then come out right." The servant whose ministry is spoiling, number one, started with good intentions. Do you see this in verse 38? Look at verse 38 with me. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. That idea there of being welcomed into her home means that she received Jesus under her roof for the purpose of showing hospitality to him, for the purpose of it extending kindness to him. The idea of the word there in welcoming him is that she wanted to count him as her own. She was like, in a sense, saying, I want you to belong to me tonight, that I might shower you with kindness and goodness and my service. Listen, does Martha love Jesus? Absolutely. Read John 11 when her brother died. And is she a theological woman? She makes an incredible confession there that you are the resurrection. I know that my brother will be raised with you in the resurrection. Is this honorable, what she wants to do? Absolutely. It's the right thing to do. Listen, your ministry will spoil certainly if you begin with wrong motives. It will. Just count on it. It will spoil. But what we can see here is that ministry can just as easily spoil with good intentions at the beginning. Do you understand that? Ministry can just as easily spoil with good intentions at the beginning. So don't deceive yourself into thinking that your good beginning guarantees a good end. Because it doesn't. It requires faithfulness throughout the whole. You must be on your toes spiritually all the time. Listen, start well. It's important. There's no other way to start than to start well. But don't rest there. And don't be surprised at your own potential within you to undo everything your good beginning brought. You guard against that by choosing the one thing necessary that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Number two, the servant whose ministry is spoiling valued excessive service more than she should have. She valued excessive service more than she should have. Quickly, somehow, Martha became a whirlwind. And again, it was all to bring comfort to Jesus under her roof. Luke's eyewitnesses who told him about this story all talk about her effort to try to make many preparations. Do you see that? Verse 40, she was distracted with all her preparations. She had much service that she wanted to do. But Jesus' observations of her also concur with this. Look down at verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered. Here it is. About so many things. And the sense here is that she is beyond what is necessary. There's only one thing that's necessary. And you're doing so many things. You're beyond what is necessary, Martha. Have you ever noticed that we are sure that oftentimes what it is that will correct our spoiling ministry is more work, more details, more attention to details, more work? That may be. But to use that as a reflex and automatic, that's just what it is that's going to correct, is perhaps putting too much value in one place than we should. Martha somehow put an overpriced value on her excessive service. And you can spoil your ministry, certainly, by being lazy. That happens all the time, doesn't it? By being passive. You can just as easily, though, spoil your service by creating more work for yourself and for those who serve with you. So it's important that you and I connect the right value to the right amount of service that we should do. So don't necessarily think that the first corrective choice for you to make in your ministry is by doing more work. It may not be. There's a great phrase that says, work smarter, not what? Let me let you into my darkness as a pastor, a preacher. Kent Hughes mentioned this. It is all too common and too easy for our service to drag us away from his word. That's what's happened here. Martha is not near Jesus' word. Mary is. He says it is all too common and too easy for our service to drag us away from his word. Ironic as it may be, this is an epidemic among preachers of the word, and I can tell you this is true. Ministers of the gospel often admit that the word is not at the center of either their devotion or their ministries. They talk about it all the time. The programs and the unending needs are so pressing that reading and hearing the word of God is neglected. It doesn't matter who you are, from new servant in the body to elder. We are very capable of putting too much value on excessive service. Number three, the servant whose ministry is spoiling has a heart that is easily drawn away and overwhelmed. The servant whose ministry is spoiling has a heart that is easily drawn away and overwhelmed. Look at verse 40. She's distracted. That's a word that means that she's been drawn away. She's been driven about mentally. Her mind is all over the place. She has become overoccupied and too busy with her service she's doing. And then Jesus uses the word down in verses 41, two words actually, that you are worried and bothered. Do you see those two words down in verse 41? To be worried means to be anxious about something, to think earnestly upon it. I love this part. To scan minutely. To be worried. It's an idea of I can't miss anything. I've got to see it all. I've got to get it all. And then you're encumbered by all of the care that comes from what you see. The idea of the word bothered is this. It's a situation of disorder and stress. So here she is scanning minutely everything she's doing, and now she is in a situation of disorder and stress. She's become harried by her excessive service, which she overvalues. And now she's agitated and she is anxious. Listen, this point right here is the root of what spoils your ministry and mine. It is not working hard. Working hard does not spoil a ministry. But a heart that is not anchored will spoil a ministry. A heart that is not steadied, that is not fixed, that is not riveted enough on Jesus and His Word, a heart that is swept away, in this case, by much preparation and many things to do, that will spoil a ministry instantly. Working hard is not wrong. Having a heart that gets swept away from the one we are ultimately serving, that is wrong. Can I say that again? Working hard is not wrong. Having a heart that gets swept away from the one we are ultimately serving, that is wrong. That is wrong. Here's a question for you. Whose choice was this? Did Mary choose this for Martha? Did Jesus choose this for Martha? Who chose this for Martha? Martha chose this for Martha. Listen. We will do our souls a lot of good if we will realize that our hearts weakly hold to Christ because we choose it to be this way. Our hearts hold weakly to Christ because we choose it to be that way. We'll talk more about this when we get to Mary. Ministry spoils because of this kind of heart, people. Now watch what happens next to servanthood with this kind of heart. Unfortunately, it only gets worse. Number four, a servant whose ministry is spoiling started with good intentions. Number two, valued excessive service more than she should have. Number three, has a heart that is easily drawn away and overwhelmed. And number four, believes few are as sensitive to her spoiling ministry as she is. Verse 40. With her distracted, worried, and bothered heart, she can't even begin to look within herself. Do you see that? She can't even begin to look within her, but she can only look outside of herself for the diagnosis of what is wrong. She can only look outside herself to try to find some type of an explanation as why am I this way? Why am I in this situation? And when she looks outside of herself, it is not with favorable eyes that she looks upon Jesus nor Mary, her sister. I mean, look what her question is in verse 40. With all of her preparations and distracted heart, she came up to him and said, Lord, don't you care? Savior, the one who's on the road to Jerusalem, who's intending, who set his face resolutely to go to the cross and die, don't you care? The Lord here is placed in the position of being potentially accused of being insensitive. By Martha. Her rhetorical question raises the issue of whether he really cares about what is taking place. Now, there's something very interesting in verse 40 happening with the grammar here that says, she came up to him and said. And I want you to see what Godet says. He says it really well. He says, what's going on here is a sudden suspension of her feverish activity. She came up to him and said, it's a very weak translation. It's like she was working and she's fed up. She is done. She just dropped everything and she has come up to him. He says, at the sight of Jesus and her sister who was listening to him with gladness, Martha stops short. She takes up a bold attitude and she addresses the latter report, reproaching her for her selfishness and Jesus for his partiality. That's what's going on here. Her heart has not been anchored to be near to Jesus. She's carried away and swept away by all of her preparation in her service. And what is she doing now? She can't even begin to evaluate her own life. All she can see is what's wrong outside of her. And it has to do with Mary, and it has to do with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you believe what you and I are capable of? I know it'd be easy to say, can you believe what Martha did? But listen, you and I do that. We look outside of ourselves, just like the lawyer last week. He found reason to have an excuse against the law. Who is my neighbor? It's so ambiguous, I don't know what to do. Listen, you and I, we can throw doubt and cast accusations really sly-like on the Lord. And that's what she's doing. You see, ministry began to spoil because of what was in her heart. But do you notice this? That what was in her heart, did it stay there? No. Something was wrong inside, and Jesus felt it, and Mary felt it. It didn't stay confined with her. Listen, if your heart is there, it is only a matter of time before somebody else is going to feel it. And listen, you know it. You have felt it from others before, haven't you, in service? When their heart is not right and they're serving, man, it's oppressive. When servanthood begins to spoil, it spoils quickly. But unfortunately, that's not all. Lastly, number five, the servant whose ministry is spoiling inevitably becomes bitter and bossy. What do I mean by bitter? I mean this. Look at verse 40. She has left me to do all the serving alone. This implies that Mary had been with her serving, but Mary didn't stay connected to the feverish flurry of activity. Do you notice how unattractive that type of ministry is, that Mary didn't say, gosh, I just got to stay here with you? There's nothing attractive about you and me when we get to be that way. By bitter here, I think of this. I think Jesus says something absolutely frightening in verse 42. Look down there with me. Mary has chosen the good part right here, which shall not be taken away from her. Listen carefully. Something had happened within Martha that now moved her to even want to take away from Mary what Mary found at Jesus' feet. Do you see that? The very thing that you and I need when our ministries are beginning to spoil, one of the things we need the most is we need fellowship with another person as we're serving. If we're not careful, what we end up doing is we become so bitter that we alienate the very ones that we need to be near to. We do it with bitterness. I mean, could it be that Martha here is thinking, if Mary doesn't serve with me, she doesn't deserve to even have what she's found? It's almost a desire here to penalize Mary, to rob her of what she has found. And Jesus says, it's not going to be taken away from her. In other words, you're trying to take something from her, and I'm not going to let you. Do you see the Lord Jesus Christ protecting that service? Martha's service was not without blemish. Look what Calvin says about this. There was this additional evil that Martha was so delighted with her own bustling operations as to despise her sister's pious eagerness to receive instruction. This example warns us that in doing what is right, we must take care not to think more highly of ourselves than of others. What do I mean by bossy? Bitter and bossy. Look, what is she doing in verse 40? Tell her to help me. Who is she saying that to? Jesus. Tell her to to do what I need and what I want. A servant whose ministry of spoiling started with good intentions, number one, valued excessive service more than she should have. A servant whose ministry of spoiling, number three, has a heart that is easily drawn away and overwhelmed. Number four, believes few are as sensitive to her spoiling ministry as she is. And five, inevitably becomes bitter and bossy. What's the bottom line here that's going on? I think Kent Hughes sums it up well. He says this, we ruin our service when we overestimate our importance. I think that's what's going on here. This is the heart issue inside of Martha. Our responsibility, our means of service, is deemed to be everything by us. If others were good Christians, they would certainly live like us. If they were together spiritually, they would be doing what we are doing. Martha's attitude unchecked can destroy the inner soul of service. Martha's self-appointed responsibilities distracted her from what mattered most. And so it is with us. The self-imposed necessities of ministry smother us, and serving becomes drudgery. Godet went on to say this as well. Her very distraction proves that the motive of her work is not pure, and that her self-importance as hostess has a larger share in it than it ought. Self-importance. An overestimation of our own importance in our ministry. Who is the focal point of what it is that Martha is doing? Who is the center of gravity of what it is that Martha is doing? She is. And the more full of yourself that you will become in ministry, the more likely that steps 2 through 5 of what we just went through will come out and take root. And isn't this an interesting place to find this passage? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, verse 27, and you shall love your neighbor. Great place for this to take place in Luke. And do you notice here that Jesus is not impressed with Martha's service? She's busy, she's working hard, and he's not impressed. He's not interested, and he's not interested in defending her ministry. And Martha looks like she thought for sure she knew that Jesus would agree with her. You ever felt that way? God, you know that this is right, what I'm thinking. The point here is that she couldn't have been more wrong, could she? Number two, the servant whose heart is feasting. We had, number one, the servant whose ministry is spoiling. That was Martha. Number two, Mary is the one we're talking about now, the servant whose heart is feasting. Let's skip over the next quote from Lenski. I was going to have you look at it again, but let's just go right to point number one. The servant whose heart is feasting, number one, humbly, submissively desires Jesus and his words, verse 39. Look at this. Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. This woman had every cultural reason to not be where she is, sitting at his feet, listening to him and learning from him. And she had every reason to be where instead? With Martha serving. A woman serving a rabbi in this day is not uncommon at all. Not uncommon at all. Happened all the time. Women, for the most part, in this day were restricted to the marriage and mother-daughter relationship. She had a relationship with her husband. That was strained, oftentimes. And she certainly had a mother-daughter relationship. And for the most part, this culture said, that's it for you. That's where you throw all of your weight. But here is a woman assuming, and not only assuming, but actually preferring and choosing the role of a disciple relationship under a rabbi. Now that was unusual in this day. She has taken the place of a disciple sitting under his feet. So notice this about her. Notice then the strength of this desire that she would step out of the cultural setting of her day, the cultural norm, the cultural boundaries, the cultural chains and fences on her. And she says, no, my desire to be near this man and to listen to his word is so strong, I throw off all of that and I come to him. We can only imagine how the setting unfolded. Perhaps what happened is as soon as Mary discerned that Jesus had something to impart and to teach, she turned from her sister's frantic service in order to sit at his feet and soak in everything that he had to say. If we could take an EKG of Martha's heart, it showed a wildly beating, out-of-control heart. If we could take an EKG of Mary's heart, it would show a docile, peaceful, humble, and submissive heart. She wants nearness to Jesus above her service. She wants nearness to Jesus before her service. This is a woman who is shepherding her heart towards Jesus Christ in order to drink in his words. Why does she want his words? Because they reveal more of Jesus Christ to her, the very one that she wants. And this is the one thing that Jesus says she has chosen. This is the one thing. Do you see it down there in verse 42? Only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part. This is it. And I don't know about you, but I must discipline myself to do that. It is a choice to make. It doesn't say that she did it when she felt like it. She chose it. I have to plan for this. I have to put forth serious time and effort for this. I have to be able to say, you know what? This has got to go in my schedule, and this must be added to my schedule. I've got to change this over here so that I've got room over here to be able to do this. Let me tell you what I do not have to plan for. I do not have to plan for my heart to drift. Do you have to plan for your heart to drift? It just happens. But we do have to plan for this. I don't have to plan for self-importance to raise its ugly head in my life. I do have to plan for Jesus' importance to gain ground in my life. You choose this, and you watch how your servanthood changes. Number two, the servant whose heart is feasting temporarily leaves service to improve service. She temporarily left service to improve service. And again, service. Again here, Martha's words reveal this. My sister has left me, verse 40. Do you see that? She was with me serving, but now she has chosen to be somewhere else. Now, should we assume that Mary never, ever again served? Is that the point? No, not at all. Is the point here that you should just choose a quiet life, a life of solitude, a meditative place? No, he's not calling for a monkish life for years. That's what the church taught. But she chose something in her service that led her from her service. She chose something in her service that led her from her service in order, I think, to improve her servanthood. Now, can you imagine what it's going to be like when she steps back into the preparations and now begins to help Martha? Can you understand the difference that is going to be made now? How her servanthood will be better? How Martha has a chance to be ministered to by a woman whose heart has been near to Jesus Christ in his word? The whole atmosphere of service has the potential of being different. Now, can I make a practical suggestion that as a church full of volunteers, I strongly encourage you not all to take a step away from your service at the same time. But let's stagger ourselves, shall we? In fact, wouldn't wisdom dictate that the times in which you aren't serving, what should you be doing? You shepherd your heart to the Word of God in order to get the God of the Word. Wisdom would dictate that a servant would realize the importance of using his or her time wisely when she or he is not serving. What you do with your heart every morning, what you may do with your heart at night with God's word, will make more of an impact on your service in your small group, in your Sunday service, whatever it is you do here, than you will ever imagine. Listen to what Spurgeon said. He says, "You are not losing time while you are feeding the soul." You are not losing time when you are feeding your soul. While by contemplation you are getting purpose strengthened and motive purified, you are rightly using time. When the man becomes intense, and I think what he means there is intense in his desire for Christ and for his word, when he gets within him principles vital, fervent, energetic, then when the season for work comes, he will work with a power and a result which empty people can never attain, however busy they may be. We never become the church of the empty people. But you and I need to be people who are constantly bringing our hearts to God and his word. Listen, your humble and your submissive heart posture under God and under his word Monday through Friday and Saturday, the days that you're not serving, does more to preserve your servanthood than you'll ever know. Leaders of ministry, listen to me for just a minute. Those of you who are actually in charge and of helping serve the other servants be put into place in the ministry, this must be one of your highest concerns as a leader of ministry. This must be one of your highest concerns for yourself, but also for those whom you are leading. You need to be, as you are planning service, you need to be planning for the heart. Are you listening? As you are planning out your service that people are going to be doing, as you are coordinating people, you need to be planning for the heart. And you need to bring God's word into everything that you do. Are you a part of setup and tear down and you come early and you just drag stuff out and set it all out so that we can all enjoy it and forget to ever say thank you to you? Thank you, by the way. Bring God's word and say, for a moment, may I bring our hearts to God's word. Wherever it is that you are, bring God's word to bear on people's souls, on your own, and say what matters more than anything is that we choose the right thing in our service, and that is that we bring our hearts to Jesus Christ and his word. I used to find myself saying, you know, when I was spoiling in my ministry, I'm like, man, I need a vacation. I said that for years, and that was my thinking. When my ministry began to spoil, I began to say, what it is that will solve everything is a vacation. And it wasn't until after I went on a few vacations and realized that I really didn't even shepherd my heart well on a vacation, I came back, I was just as tired, just as grumpy, just as bitter, just as bossy. The point is, you don't need a vacation, you need God's word to revive you. Go to Psalm 119 and trace, not now, on your own, because if you do, we'll be here for another hour. Trace the phrase, revive me, sustain me, and watch what he says. Revive me according to my vacation. He doesn't say that. He says, revive me according to your word. Listen, you're going to need time away to rest. And you should get that. You need that. But when you even do that, you better take your Bible before you take Nintendo or the PlayStation or anything else. Because your soul is fed by God in his word. And listen, there are still times when you need to take a break from what you're doing temporarily in order to feed your soul. And you should do that. And you will not find one elder in this church that would say, that's a dumb choice. You will only find people encouraging you. Thirdly, a servant whose heart is feasting by choice. This is overstating it, I know, but I need to overstate it in my own life, and perhaps you do too. Jesus' point here is that this was a choice that Mary made. Because you first see God for who he is. And he's described here in verse 42 as the good part, the good portion. Can I remind you of this word portion in Psalms? Just look up on the screen. Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. Psalm 119, verses 57 to 60. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'm going to make some choices. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor on my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I choose, I consider my ways, and I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and I did not delay to keep your commandments. Mary is here at his feet, not by personality trait. She is there by choice. Servant of Jesus, I want to ask you a question. Where are you by your own choice this week? Where are you by choice? Your choice, not what the choices of others that have made that impact your life and your ministry, but where are you by your own choice? Lastly, number four, a servant whose heart is feasting finds Jesus' pleasure and protection. Verse 42. Let me remind you of this, of what he said he was doing back in chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus said, I am on my way to Jerusalem. He was determined to go there. He was setting his face resolutely to go to the cross. And Barclay says it like I can't. Look at this with me. Think where Jesus was going when this happened. He was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He was on his way to Jerusalem to die. His whole being was taken up with the intensity of this. When Jesus came to that home, Martha was eager to celebrate it by laying on the best the house could give. So she rushed and fussed and cooked, and that was precisely what Jesus did not want. With the cross before him and with the inner tension in his own heart, he had turned aside to find an oasis of calm away from the demanding crowds, if only for an hour or two, and that is what Mary gave him. by being a submissive disciple who just wanted to sit and listen to what was on this man's heart who was going to the cross. Can you imagine the encouragement that would have come to Jesus because of Mary? Someone really cares to be near enough to him, to listen, to stop other important things like deeds of hospitality. Yeah, I'll set that aside for right now because you are a man going to the cross and I must know more about what makes you tick. He wanted to feast on his words. That had to minister to Jesus in a tremendous way. And by the way, isn't it great, ladies, that God had an example of women who did this? Notice what she has chosen is something that he wants to defend and protect again. See verse 42? The Lord of all creation says, it shall not be taken from her. He defends that. He protects it. He nurtures it. He does not want Mary plunged into Martha's distracted, empty devotion to him. Jesus does not desire for you to be there either. Empty, distracted devotion in your service. Will you pray with me? I want to ask you a couple of questions as you have your head bowed. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Have you been brought to the end of yourself and your bondage to yourself yet? It is only the cross of Jesus Christ which does this, which crucifies and kills all that you are, because all that you are will only merit for yourself hell. As you seek to serve yourself, only the cross of Jesus can liberate you from the bondage that you have to your own will. That is the primary sin of us all. Servant of Christ, listen, how would you describe your servant, your service of Jesus as of late? What are you doing with your heart? What kind of choices have you been making? Have others been hurt by your fretful heart, by your bitterness, by your bossiness? If so, it's time tonight afterwards to go find that person and ask for forgiveness. If you find yourself in a place tonight, servant, listen, and you feel that you have a spoiled ministry because your heart has spoiled, I want you to remember Jesus' tender words to Martha. Jesus was positioned that night to not only protect Mary, but he was there to shepherd Martha. And he is here tonight for you to shepherd your heart back to him. In the quietness of your own heart, you talk to the Lord right now about your service and about the choices you've made.